First of all, thank you.
I need a break.
I know. Give me a locket. Yes, give me a locket. Did you get a locket?
No, I couldn't find you.
There's two things. I just want to relate to the... You guys had a long debate here.
Yeah.
And one of the issues...
My throat's all dry. Carry on.
No, it's okay. But one of the issues in that debate, and even in the core of Christian theology, the concept... You spoke about the Trinity, and you spoke about the concept of consistent deity. If you look historically, there is a misconception in what the concept of the Trinity is. Now, Allah, in our language, Elohim, God, supposed to be the same God.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the issue becomes that when Christianity became a religion, that was what? How many years ago?
Like 2000.
Let's put it this way. Long after Jesus Christ died.
Yeah.
Now, you can have... The idea at the end of the day is in Christian theology, they came and said, hey, in order for us to separate ourselves from what was Judaism up until that point, the only way we can do that is if we give Christ a new identity. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we give Christ a new identity? We separate the concept of what is the Trinity. What's the Trinity? At the end of the day, there's only one God, and it's not Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus could have been the Son of God. That's debatable. It all depends on your beliefs.
Yeah. We don't believe that.
No,
we're Muslims.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand. I got no... But I'm just saying, at the end of the day,
I think it's a terminology, because the Jewish terminology about the Son of God.
It's a preconception of a misunderstanding of what the Trinity is. The Trinity, by the way, doesn't necessarily exist in any way, shape, or form in Judaism. Yeah,
absolutely.
You have God, you have the Holy Spirit, and obviously you've got offshoots of different people that think they're the Messiah. But at the end of the day, Christian theology, modern Christian theology, is based on a decision made by the Roman Empire to accept Christianity as its national religion, which means they had to make changes in order to separate it from Judaism. And the basic theological idea, the way they separated it, is by saying Jesus is God. But it was never like that. And Jesus never said he was God.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what we wanted to find out. Yeah.
Paul said Jesus was God. But Paul is the largest divide between Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, for that, you know. For all, so at the end of the day,
but even,
it's
even,
a perception.
Yeah.
I believe, look, I don't know if Messiah has come or not come, but I believe that there is God and only one God.
Yeah.
After that, you have the Spirit of God, which is part of God, but if you were to look at it in a hierarchy, there's still only one God.
Yeah. Even Paul himself, you know, because I don't believe that he believed that Jesus was the Almighty God. He might have believed he might be a God, which again is like in a Jewish terminology might be different, because the judges were called gods.
I'm okay, I'm in Christian terminology.
Yeah, so
as well.
So like for example in John 10:34, when Jesus references Psalms 82:6, where the Jewish judges were called gods.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, again, like I said, that is a god or gods which are lower than God Almighty, because Paul himself says the one true God, the Father. He very clearly says this in black and white. I forgot the verse number, but this is very clear in the Bible. Yes, I believe in Corinthians somewhere. And this is in Corinthians where Paul says he's, the Father is the one true God.
I almost feel like a neutral here, because I'm not Muslim. I'm not.
John 17:3.
Yeah,
no, Jesus said that. I'm saying Paul also said that.
At the end of the day, what everybody needs to understand, and this is the main problem with Christian theology, it had a divide. I have no problems with, obviously, but the divide between everything that came afterwards was simply the fact that they changed the basic concept of what God is.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now,
1 Corinthians 8:6.
All the
guys that come up here and debate with you, and you as well, you should look at the Old Testament. That's the original book, man.
Yeah, but we look at the Old Testament, and that's what we point to the Christians with regards to whoever advocated.
They were taught to ignore it, because in the New Testament it says Jesus came to fulfill the law, but they keep claiming Jesus came to abolish the law.
Yes.
So in modern Christianity, there's absolutely no reference to original social law.
Absolutely.
Therefore, it doesn't make
with regards to the Messiah that is referenced in the Old Testament, was he ever to be a God? B.
There's no Messiah in the Old Testament.
There's no Messiah. So do you...
In the Old Testament. Actually, the full crowd are even around the time that Jesus...
So do the Jewish... Are they waiting for a Messiah?
Yes, they are.
They are.
That's something that's actually...
So where does that come from then?
It's actually something... It comes from... You know what it comes from? From what's the right way? It comes from interpretation.
Of?
The Jude... Okay.
Of the Old Testament?
Of the Old Testament.
So it is...
Isn't modern...
Well, these are your rabbis,
no,
man. Come on.
Well, come
if
on.
They're interpreting...
They're not our rabbis.
So who interpreted this?
Listen, over history, over the course of history, you have rabbis, and they've gone on to interpret the Old Testament. Personally, this is everybody has it. I'm not a religious Jew, and I personally disagree with the vast...
What do you think of Rambam? Do you believe he's a good rabbi?
believe he was a smart man. Does that mean everything he wrote in context of what he believed the Bible said is true? Right. No.
Okay. So I'm just wondering, I mean, when you said that you believe...
I use my brain.
No, that's fine. So using your brain, you believe there is a Messiah to come.
Believe that that's common knowledge nowadays or common
no, no, for you because knowledge. You don't believe in the rabbi statement or commentary.
Okay. If I believe
so, on what basis do you believe that he's going to come? That's what I want to ask because you don't believe in the tafsir or the interpretation.
I don't know what's coming or what's not coming. I make no claim to that. That's fine. I have no claim to that.
But that's the reason I ask you. Do you believe? Are you waiting for a Messiah?
Man, I ain't waiting for shit. I'm living my life. I'm enjoying the city.
You guys
of
are definitely not religious Jews.
What?
You're really not religious Jews.
No, by the way, no.
Okay.
Well, most, you know, about 90% of Jews are.
But you must
religious.
Have studied when you were young.
Of course. I have a degree in Christian theology. So it doesn't even.
Christian
yeah,
theology?
Yeah.
Wow. What's the interest in that?
Christian theology and Jewish. Yeah, man.
Is there more money in it?
I was like 30 years old. I just needed to go study in the university or something. Okay. So, just, you know, that made sense.
That was like the easiest subject or something?
Not the easiest. Okay. Just one I would never have to work in. Yeah, it's a big commitment to go to university and say, I'm going to be an engineer. And that way you go study theology, you learn a little bit about Muhammad, you learn a little bit about Judaism, about, you know, about Christianity. Okay. You go on, you become a well-rounded person and live your life.
Yeah. But any particular reason to go into Christian theology? Because you being
well,
a Jew...
You know, I also studied the roots of Islam and I also studied Jewish history. I took
but your main degree, your major was Christian
was
theology.
Christian theology yeah. and Jewish history.
Okay,
so,
fine.
At the end of the day, I'm a practical person.
Yeah.
I think we're a practical
Do you believe, as a Jew, do you believe in life after death?
Well, it's a very interesting... Personally, mm-hmm. yes. However, the concept in rabbinical Judaism is not necessarily a heaven and hell type situation.
Okay.
It's a holding place until redemption. Now, what redemption is a big story.
But that's the main thing, isn't it? What is the end result? So all the goodness that you do in this earth or the evil that people do in this earth, there has to be some form
of accountability,
some form of reward system at the end. There must be some reward and punishment for the people who do evil, some reward for the people who do good. So,
well, of course, but yeah. I'm saying it's not that doesn't exist. That certainly exists because if it didn't exist, none of us would be people that talk or believe in God.
Religion,
none of us would have this. None of us would have this idea of we need to do very well because we would like something afterwards. But the reward is not heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want to know. What it is?
It, when death happens, when your physical body dies, you go to a holding place until redemption. Until redemption happens.
When you say until redemption, what does that mean? Until
I have no idea.
Okay.
But a lot of people will say in Christianity, obviously, it's the Messiah. Obviously, rabbinical Judaism, they'll say the Messiah. Yeah. But redemption, I don't know how you define redemption and what the details
We call it the Day of Judgment. So the Day of Judgment is basically when you'll be judged. And this will be the day when this the day of reckoning. So all your deeds, good and bad, will be presented in front of you, and you will be given the results. So it'll be like you waiting for the exam results at the end of an exam.
You got an A.
Your life on this earth is the exam, and on the day of resurrection is when you'll get the result.
Everybody,
so,
I think everybody has some form of.
Yes,
that.
Yes. I think the Hindus call it the karma. The Christians. They have a very similar system to the Muslims, yeah. I think of heaven and hell. I think there are Jews who do believe in heaven and hell. You might be a different kind.
No. It's not a black and white thing. Like, you are good. No. First of all, there's a phase before your soul goes to its eternal lying place.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. But I believe every monotheistic religion has a day of reckoning in some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
That's it.
I mean, the Christians also have this holding place, which they call the purgatory or the Hades or something, and the Muslims call it. The Muslims
we're
have a
having a conversation, so nobody gives a shit about what we're saying. It's
well, that's fine. Yeah. The Muslims also have a place which is called the Barzakh, which is a place you go to after your death and before the resurrection. Yes.
Fair enough.
So anyway, I mean, there's a lot of common. Is it Abrahamic faith at the end of the day?
Abrahamic faith.
Yeah. But one thing I know is that the Muslims and the Jews, they believe in the oneness of God, and they hold on to this very dearly. And this is the core of the belief, and this is something which will be your determinant on the Day of Judgment.
I think Christians, I actually believe Christians, those practicing Christians in their heart of hearts, they may not understand the terminology and how they state it because of all the confusion of what the Trinity is.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I think they hold the same idea. They just explain it very differently than us. Which is why you just had that debate with Bob.
Yeah.
Because Bob, you guys, listen, at the end of the day, you just had this debate with Bob because Bob was talking about, you know, about Jesus being God. And the monotheistic religion,
happen.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it doesn't mean that Jesus, listen,
because as soon as you say Trinity, it's no more monotheism to me. The word mono and the word tri.
Well, Trinity in its form, yeah, understood by modern Christianity, you're right. But if the concept of a Trinity is Father, Holy Spirit, and some sort of Savior, with the hierarchy, it makes sense to all of us, doesn't it?
No, but you see, this Savior was never to be a God, even in Judaism.
Of course.
The Savior, the Messiah to come, was never to be God. So you cannot say, because for them, in the Trinity, each member is fully God, which is the core of the belief. Yeah, Bob just told me that. Fully God.
But you have to forgive Bob, because Bob's been taught ever since the day that Christianity became a religion because of politics, that in order to separate, we got to separate ourselves from the Jews here. How do we do that? Let's call Jesus God. Well, Jesus, let's be honest. Jesus was a historic figure, very well documented. He was, I guess, the punk rocker of those days. He's the man that led a social rebellion against a very, very corrupt religious system. And that's it's great.
I don't know about the rebellion, but he was basically preaching most of the time. He wasn't like a military man who would lead a rebellion, Moses was. Because you see, Moses and Muhammad, they were statesmen, and they did have an army, unlike Jesus. So Jesus was, I think, Jesus was preaching about this oneness of God as well. Just like a religious Jew would do.
Of course.
Yes. But then these people, the Christians in the 4th century, that is when they adopted this Trinity and so on. Before the 4th century, even the forefathers did not believe, the church fathers did not believe in this concept.
If you read a bit into Jewish history, not the religion, I'm not talking about the Old Testament.
The history, you mean?
The proper history.
Yeah.
At the time of Jesus, you had several kind of cults or separated Jews, like the Essenes and what were the other guys?
You had the Essenes. Basically, you had the Essenes and you had the
Essenes.
Essenes, and you had the guys that were in the temple.
The Polshim,
which I don't remember. I remember
and
what they're called.
All of them believed in kind of non-violence and against.
Yeah, but Jesus came out against the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were the ruling sect of. They were the corrupt mofos in the temple, taxing everybody.
Yeah. Exactly.
This guy has something to say.
An icon that symbolized a kind of current against the corrupted system of the region at that time, in the temple and taxation, that collaborated with the Romans.
Yeah, we know the Pharisees were corrupt. They used to misrepresent even God's words, and they used to misrepresent many of the teachings.
I'm going to say something really bad. First of all, to me, now I'm going to, but blunt, honest. Mm-hmm. Every religion is guilty of one thing. Which is all thieves. The system are thieves. And at the end of the day, you know how you control people? How you make them stupid? You let them become stupid. You make sure they live in poverty. You make sure they're ignorant. You make sure they have no information. This is how you control people.
You're not talking about Trump, are you?
What?
No.
Trump sounded like you talked about Trump there. But anyway, thanks for your time, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Are you guys tourists here or you live here?
Tourists.
Yeah. Enjoy your holiday. Good, you came to Speaker's Corner.
I had a bit of a taste of it. It's always rough for me.
Nice speaking to you, John. You take care.
No,
he didn't know what he was talking about.